Oh, g'day, Roo. The week is speeding by. How are you on this Wednesday morning?
Very, very good, Dits. Yeah, very good. To go to Melbourne yesterday. Footy season's cranking up, but for Foxtel over there, for they have a love-in where they give you all the latest information on what they're going to do this year and how excited they are. And, yeah, it's just around the corner.
So have you come away pumped? Are you raring to go?
I am raring to go. Yeah, it's only 8 days away now. Next Thursday night we've got footy on the box and it'll be here for the next 6 months, basically. So
can't wait.
Out.
Can't wait to get it underway. Yeah. Hey, Roo, coming up today, Dr. Carl, this is an interesting topic, I reckon, about memory. Now, I don't, at my age of 55, I forget something you told me 5 minutes ago, but yep. I can remember vividly everything that happened in grade one primary school. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Why does this happen?
Yep. And why, why does it happen? Is it damage we've caused to our brain? Is it just part of aging?
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
You notice it with your parents a lot and your grandparents, of course. So
I notice it with myself.
Yeah, I do too.
So it is a worry. Brad Ebert's going to join us. We have a chat to Brad. We've got the Metros on today. We've got plenty of stuff. We've got double to give away to Metallica. We've got the pressure test for $1,000. Plenty of stuff happening, Dits.
Big, big show. Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Roo and Dits, top three things you need to know.
What's making news, Roo?
The SANFL have got a bit of head scratching to do, Dits. They've got to find another 170 new football grounds in Adelaide by 2026 as the game of AFL sort of booms in the state at the moment. Figures last month reveal 17.6% rise in participation to the first time it ever had over 200,000 players in the state. So 204,892. They say the cost could be as high as 220 million to find the ground shortages. Also starting to get some issues, obviously, with the rise in female participation for facilities as well. But female participation rose 30% last year, up by more than 61,000, which is absolutely awesome for the girls to get out and be able to play the sport that they've wanted to for years, but does create a few headaches for the SANFL and surrounding areas.
Now, can I ask a question? Because your kids are involved. Does it just mean that we need to use the Oval more hours on a Saturday and a Sunday? So in other words, you might you could have your daughter playing at 5 p.m. Sunday, for example, instead of you know, we're all accustomed to rolling up every Sunday morning, aren't we, at some stage, and our kids play footy. Do you know what I mean? Does it just mean more usage or
I think they say that the guideline from the AFL gives that seven teams should be able to use one ground, but at the moment Jake Parkinson's saying up to 22 teams have got certain grounds. So I guess it'll get a bit boggy in winter and a bit of overuse and bits and pieces. So a good problem to have, but one they'll have to find some money and some land for, I presume.
That won't be easy. How's this for a story out of the United States? The FBI has made 45 arrests in recent days. Prominent actors, well-known people, and the most prominent, I've just looked at this online, the most prominent was one of the Desperate Housewives when that show was absolutely massive.
Yep.
What these people have done is bribe certain university officials to get their kids into the top universities in the United States.
Right.
So this bird from Desperate Housewives has paid
bribe.
$200,000.
Well, you can't just buy your way in.
No, what it is, and it's falsifying exam results as well.
Oh, you can't do that.
No. So they've gone, in one case that I've read about, they've gone to a rowing coach at a university in California, and her two daughters, the actor that I'm talking about, her two daughters are now in the rowing team. They've never rowed a day in their lives, and as a part of the rowing team, they still haven't rowed a day in their lives.
Right. And they got in.
And they got amazing scores. Anyway, it's all been unearthed. And as I said, these are prominent names. They're talking jail time. So some of these prominent actors will actually do jail time, and you'll hear more about this in the days to come. The FBI is involved about all of these famous people bribing because they want their kids to be in the top universities.
I can picture you paying money to get them in, but not actually falsifying exams and stuff like that's probably going a little bit far.
What do you mean paying money to get them in?
You should be able to
bribe to get your kids into a better university.
I don't know. You could just picture it happening, I reckon. Right. But I don't know about doing dodgy.
I'll watch with interest to see where your kids end up, which universities, if that's okay.
Well, they'd have to pay to get in because they won't be smart enough, will they?
That's terrible.
But,
hey, now, speaking of kids, how funny is this story? Well, it's not funny. It's terrible, but it's funny. A Saudi Arabian woman is on a flight bound for Kuala Lumpur, and she's gone to the stewardess and said, "Fleet, turn the plane around. I left my baby in the terminal."
What?
Left her baby in the terminal. This is absolutely true. The flight left Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, bound for KL.
How do you do that?
I don't know. But, well, hang on. You question this. How do you do that? Sorry, where was it that you left your kid last year? When you all piled into the car and drove off down the road?
That was different.
Oh, was it?
I had six.
Yeah. So you left little Rosie Ricciuto behind at a house inspection?
That's right.
And what happened when your turn went back?
She was running across the grass crying her eyes.
Because I think the real estate agent was closing up and had to wait, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, I decided to go back for a second look and then went back for a second look. Yeah. Oh, shivers. Rosie.
How can you leave a baby behind in the terminal?
Yeah, you'd wonder. But it does happen. They get tired, the mums and things. Well, they do it. Where did I read it the other day? Yeah, it's happened. It does happen. Pregnant mums get a bit crazy, don't they, Mel? Or early mums, they get a bit tired and a bit forgetful.
Yeah, I don't.
Baby brain.
Yeah, we use that a lot, don't we? But never baby brain enough to leave them behind in an airport.
Well, not yet.
No.
Give it time, Mel.
So you've got six kids. You might have seven or eight, Rue. You might have left a couple
That's
somewhere.
That's right. Yeah. Did you know Ken Hinckley was one of 10 kids? Did I read that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was he?
Because you told me Tim Ginever was.
Yeah, big family.
How many?
I can't remember, but it's about 10, something like that, yeah.
I think Ken Hinckley might have been one of 10.
Yeah, right.
Anyway,
all right.
I bet you one of them got left behind at a footy game one day.
Jeez, you got to fight your way at the food table.
Get in
dinner.
The car.
Get in quick. That's right. All right, that's what's making news. Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports.
The wine bar at the National Wine Centre.
The perfect spot for a drop.
Melbourne star recruit Stephen May won't play round one. The tribunal upheld a one-match ban for his hit on Brisbane's Jared Berry last night.
Which is huge news for Port Adelaide, given they play Melbourne in round one. He might just have to take it back a notch, Stephen May. He's a very aggressive player, and sort of what he did wasn't necessary, and he's missed a few games over his career, but you like players to be on the edge, and he certainly plays like that.
Now, the AFL won't be budging on any of the 9 new rules as football boss Stephen Hocking prepares to meet with the 18 coaches for breakfast tomorrow.
We're very, very comfortable, and we support the changes that have been made. We've worked 12 months with the industry and been really pleased with how all that has been embraced by all the key stakeholders. There's 12 representatives from club. And they supported the 9 rule changes, and that went through to exec and commission, and that's been accepted, and clubs have worked really hard over the pre-season to implement what they need to do to navigate that in future.
A few people in the media really getting angry about the 100 metre rule and calling for it to be changed and scrubbed and blah, 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 and getting real fiery about it. They've said they're not going to do anything, but I think just got to give it.
Explain the 100 metre rule. There was one on the weekend in the Port game.
Yeah, it is only a 50 metre rule, but if you're infringing it, it ends up a 100 metre rule. So what happens is the players have not done their research, don't understand the rules, and they've had plenty of time to do it. Now, it is a bit of a tricky one, but in other parts, in other games, they did it right, and there was no 100 metre rule. There was just the 50 for the penalty. So basically, when you're defending a 50, the player that's got the ball can run as fast as he wants, and if you're on the mark, and the player gets past you, you are not allowed. You just have to get out of the way. You have to run sideways and get out of the way. Like the 10-metre exclusion zone. It's pretty much the same as that. So
yeah, they're getting too technical. I understand what you're saying. So you're running along. The guy with the ball runs past you and, in other words, takes off playing on.
Yep, just get out
Who
of the
can
way.
Then come in and stop him?
Anyone else?
But not you?
No.
Right.
Because you're in the exclusion zone. They're trying to speed the game up because when in the past it's with 50-metre penalties, what they do is people would slow it down. You'd get – you'd, by the time the umpire got back and the bloke standing mark got back, the opposition had another couple of extra players in the back line, and it didn't end up being always be a bonus for you because they'd got players behind the ball.
All right. The SRNFL has announced debt is at a 20-year low, which is heading in the right direction.
Yeah, massive debt reduction for the SRNFL, and also chucked a heap of money to the SRNFL club. So a big bonus. Obviously, the big development that's happening down at West Lakes to chop up the old Amy Stadium is paying dividends at the moment. It's good news for SRNFL, but they, as we said earlier, Dits in the over, in the top three, they might have to find some money to build some more grounds for the growth of the sport.
Woodville West Torrens is chasing financial compensation 6 months after the grand final where North Adelaide, of course, the 19-man saga, having an extra man on the ground.
Not sure what's going to happen with that one. Hey, Dits, just so you knew too, Isaac Rankin, who went to the Gold Coast as pick number three, he has ripped his hamstring tendon and he's going to miss 8 weeks. I saw a bit of a joke from the front bar. He's coming back. The TV show's coming back. They said Isaac Rankin should get his hammy right just in time to come back and play for one of the Adelaide AFL sides.
Right.
They're not thinking he's going to last up there too long, in other words.
Okay, what about the Redbacks, Roo? This is unbelievable. Now, we dismissed Queensland for 115.
What deck are we playing on up there?
I don't know. But anyway, we then dismissed them for 130 in the second innings.
We're not playing with a tennis ball with tape on.
We're now 7 for 94 in the second innings. We need another 81 runs. Now, Jake Lehman is still at the crease. He's unbeaten on 41. But
well, if he can make a very solid 50 here, we could get the chocolates, could we, or not?
Well, he's got the tail batting with him, so good luck. That's our look at sport. All thanks to the Wine Bar at the National Wine Centre, the perfect spot for a drop after work or at lunchtime or during the day. But head down to the Wine Bar at the National Wine Centre.
Hey, we've got some Metallica tickets to give away shortly.
Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Roo, driving in this morning, heard a story, a discussion on Triple M overnight. This is about the anti-vaccine brigade out there.
Yep.
Now, I know there are people, I don't know a lot about it, but I know there are people out there that are anti-vaccines. And we hear all this controversy about, well, if you don't have the vaccines, your kids can't come to this preschool or this kindergarten or whatever.
You don't get the funding.
How do you mean? You don't get it
from the government, do you, Mel? In some places, if you're not vaccinated, you don't get your rebates. Is the right term, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's not just childcare. Sometimes the federal government has introduced links between your family, basically your Centrelink payments.
Right.
And if you don't jab.
All right. So now you've got two little ones, Mel. So obviously, where they're attending, it wouldn't happen if kids were not vaccinated. They wouldn't be allowed to attend that.
I know
preschool.
We had to supply our schedule of. When they'd been immunised.
Yeah.
So I presume that meant if we didn't have it, they couldn't go.
All right. As a mum, does it concern you? What, if your kids were mixing with kids that weren't vaccinated, is it a concern?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, my kids are healthy, but for people who might have kids with immune, you know, problems with their immune systems, then it would be really scary. And, you know, measles seems to be making a little bit of a comeback.
It is, All right. So in my time, Roo, I went to school first up in the early 70s. I remember we had to have polio.
Yeah,
I had TB, tuberculosis.
That was a big one in the arm, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a shocker.
Horse needle.
I remember lining up and I kept going to the back of the line. And it was far back as
but
I
everyone,
could. I
everyone just... ended up with scars on their arms with that one. Yeah. I remember my brother and sister coming home and thinking, jeez.
I know. Measles was another one. And then once I travelled, I had to get typhoid, cholera. So in your life, you get different immunizations. And then, you know, the most recent and horrendous one we hear about is meningococcal.
Yeah.
So they're talking about that a lot. The reason we're talking about this morning is these bloggers, right? Now, she's been talked about for a fair while. Chanel Cartwright is this lady's name. She's the wife of an NRL star. Is it Bryce Cartwright, I think? Anyway, he's an NRL star in Sydney. She's 20 years of age. Now, I say that for a reason. Hardly great life experience as a mum, or she's never been a grandmother either at that age. She's now holding forums. She's charging women $200 a head to attend her forum about why you shouldn't vaccinate your kids. Now, she's pregnant with her first child, right? So she's come out swinging about this, that her children will not be vaccinated and it's dangerous and rah, rah. And charging $200. The concern I have with this bird's not qualified at all, has no medical background.
As opposed to every doctor who decided that was the best interest of all kids in Australia to
vaccinate. So here's just a new mum-to-be who thought, I know more than everyone else does. And I'm not only that, I'm going to share all my thoughts and charge $200 a head for it. Is that a bit dangerous?
That's the risky bit that I don't agree with. Obviously, if she wants to go down that track herself, well, that's an issue. And it's an issue for other people. But to actually be out preaching to people, I don't even know if that should be legal.
Well, good question. It shouldn't be. She is not a medical practitioner. How can she advise people? Seriously?
I really don't know, Dits. Maybe this is another one of those instances where the law hasn't caught up with the internet.
Yeah, it might be. Mel, sorry, I've got one more question for you. Why are these people anti-vaccine, by the way?
It was a crazy, I think he was a doctor. Basically, it started on the internet, and it was essentially a hoax where this fellow just made it up, but it gained real traction. This, you know, if you use vaccines, your kids are going to get autism.
Oh, right.
That was big, wasn't it?
Huge. And it's been completely debunked by...
Has it? Well, like 100%?
100%. In fact, a new really, really recent study has completely blown it out of the water. But people have just... Some people have really grabbed hold of it and just believe
it. Is there other things other than autism that they linked it to? Or is it just purely autism?
Oh, that was the main one. That was the real scaremonger that's got people.
Mm. All right. Good on you, Mel. Now, Roo, with the internet, the internet's been a great thing, no doubt about it. And we use Google every day of our lives. It helps in all sorts of ways. But... one thing we all want shut down are the trolls out there. We want them shut down. But surely this has to be looked at. Surely we can't have people uneducated, unqualified, advising people like mums, very, very serious stuff here, people with babies, about what they should be doing, surely. I'm appealing to people listening this morning. What are you into that you're blogging, or if that's the right terminology?
That you follow. Influencers is the right word, I think.
133353. And we heard, one of the big ones is they call it Dr. Google. There are a lot of people out there now that think, I won't go to the doctor, I'll just Google this, which is such a dangerous practice, isn't it? I've got a pain in the guts, I'll just find out online what that is.
Yeah.
You know, I might have cancer of the stomach, but Google will tell me.
Mm.
It's bloody dangerous, isn't it?
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
Our wag follows a few people on the internet.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Who do you blog? Does your wife or your partner blog someone? I'd love to hear about it. 133353. The dangerous world we live in now, Russo. Kayla Winterstein is the name of the lady charging $200 for a forum for women in Sydney to come along and find out why you shouldn't vaccinate your kids. And she's not qualified. She's not a medical practitioner at all. I find this all really dangerous. Alice the Wag. We often see her head buried into her computer when she's
her phone.
Meant to be chasing guests for our show. Alice the Wag, who are you following at the moment? What sort of stuff are you into?
Well, I've just looked up. I follow 1,033 people, and I reckon...
What?
Yeah, but some of them are my friends. So I would say probably half of them are my friends. Half of them are like influencers and people I definitely
influencers.
Don't know. Footy players, everyone.
Right.
I follow a lot of influencers now that you've asked me that question, and it's actually scary because since you've asked me, I've quickly gone on and checked their little profile to see what their qualifications are, and the four main ones I follow don't seem to have any. The biggest one is she's a PT.
Right.
Her name's Ashley Bynes. She's
personal
up from
trainer.
Up in Queensland.
Yeah.
But she started this empire. To her credit, she employs a nutritionist to write the program.
Right.
So I pay for her app, and it gives you workouts and
right.
Do you use
recipes
them
sometimes?
So why do you pay it and do it if you only use it sometimes? Why are you doing it?
Well, it's like $5 a month or something, and you get like access to.
But you go to a gym here, and you pay
for
that as well.
Yeah, no, but sometimes you go to the gym and you don't know what to do. You're just kind of having a brain funk, so you just look at your phone and it tells you what to do.
Righto. Who else do you follow?
There's this girl called Sarah's Day, and she's a YouTuber. And she's probably my favourite. I follow her religiously. And her profile says she's a holistic princess.
Right. Well, we've got to follow that, don't we?
She sounds perfect.
Yeah. And what do you get out of this holistic
princess? Well, she originally started her YouTube channel because she wanted to cure. She had like acne using holistic and natural remedies.
Right.
Mm.
And you don't have acne. So why are you wasting your time doing this?
Because essentially it's because she's really attractive and you follow her because you want to look like her. And she makes all these natural foods. She doesn't eat sugar, she doesn't eat gluten, she doesn't eat dairy, all that.
Right,
so you reckon that's because she doesn't eat any of that, that she's pretty?
Maybe. But then she also has an app. She has a fitness thing called Sweat It to Shred It. That costs, I think, $60 just to buy it outright. Oh, but then I've looked and I can't see any qualifications for her being a PT or anything like
that. $60. The other one's $5 a month.
And so then there's these other two girls, Steph Claire Smith and Laura Henshaw, and they are both models.
Mm.
And they have started something called Keep It Cleaner.
Right.
Which actually, I actually really like this one because it's for young girls and it's all about just loving yourself no matter what you look like. But she employs a PT to write the program and she employs like nutritionists to write the recipes.
What does that one cost you?
That's, I think, $19 a month.
$19 a month?
I'm not paying for that, but I'm just saying.
Well, who pays for it? How are you following it then if you're not paying for it?
I just follow her online and stalk them, but I don't actually pay for the program.
What does stalk mean?
Just look at them.
Just look at them all the time.
Right.
So there's like so many fitness people. There's another girl like Emily Sky, Sophie Gidlin, and it's just because they're really attractive. They put up all these photos where they look good, and then you go, I want to look like that, so you buy their program.
So is this the norm, seriously, for girls in their teenage years and 20s, or does it go to girls older, or and is there blokes doing exactly the same thing?
I think it's more female. Well, all the people I follow are all female, so I think they're more female based, but I think a lot of it is mums and people who are sitting at home. They've just had a baby, so they're probably not feeling that great about themselves and they just want to change their body. So they're following all these girls online and looking for like an answer.
Right. When you mix with the blokes here at Triple M, which you do at times, and they're similar ages, do they ever talk about people they follow?
I think a lot of them follow these girls, but not because they want to follow their programs, purely because they put up bikini photos and their butts.
Are they getting influenced by influencers?
I don't think
other than
so.
Just no. Stalking them.
So that's no. An actual term, is it, in this modern world? These people are called influencers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they get paid a bucket load to, you know, put up a Instagram story where they're like, oh my God, I'm using this new moisturizer. It's amazing. And there's no laws against them having to say it's an ad.
Right.
So these young girls are watching it going, oh, this girl thinks this moisturiser is amazing. I'm going to go buy it.
That's why she's pretty, because she uses this moisturiser.
But actually, it's because the company is paying her like so much money to put this up on her Instagram. So
whole new world.
But a lot of them have like over a million
dangerous
followers.
Dangerous new world.
Dangerous.
Like millions.
And misleading, I would say.
Mm.
This Steph Claire Smith girl, she's a young girl from Melbourne. She's a year younger than me and she's got over a million followers.
Is that right?
Kayla Itsenis is the girl from Adelaide. She's got 11 million followers.
And worth about... million. What, 50 million or 100
so
million?
Or she's like Australia's richest girl.
Mm.
But all she's right. Actually a qualified PT.
Other than Gina Reinhart, maybe.
They don't look the same either.
Bit different. All right.
Similar
thanks.
Bank balances
thanks,
look a little bit different.
I've learnt plenty today. Ruined it here on Triple M.
Metallica World Wired Tour live.
This is James from Metallica.
World Wired Tour.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which
I Metallica.
Oh, a massive concert, Roo. Adelaide Oval, Sunday, October 20. Tickets go on sale 18th of March. Go to livenation.com.au.
Yeah, but we've got a double to give away right now. We want the mums to ring in, and they have to do some singing. We're not just giving them away. We've got three mums on the line
now, Roo,
right now.
Think about this. If you're a mum who had a boy or a girl growing up that loved Metallica, it'll be that loud in your house. Oh. You'd know the words.
Turn it down!
I know. You'll know the words inside out, surely.
You'd know the big choruses. Wouldn't you? Let's have say good day to Monica from Ranelagh. Good day, Monica.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
So you've always lived in a Metallica household, I take it?
Yeah, they love the heavy metal, so do I. So hopefully I get this right.
All right, now we'll play a little bit of Metallica for you. This is what we need you to sing.
Take my hand, to never, never land.
Righto, take it away, Monica. Away you go.
Take my hand, off to never, never land.
Oh, off to a good start. We are off to a good start.
Very good.
Stay on the line, stay on the line, Monica.
Good effort for 7-Eleven in the morning. Let's go to Christy from Gawler. G'day, Christy.
Hi, how are you going?
Very, very well.
Are you ready to sing, Christy?
No, I apologise in advance to everyone listening.
Righto, let's play it again for you.
Take my hand, off to never, never land.
Righto, away you go.
Take my hand, off to never, never land.
Oh, yeah, that
not
was bad, right in
not
tune.
Bad,
beautiful.
Not bad.
Stay
all
there,
right.
Christy.
Let's head to McGill. G'day, Ann. Hello, Ann.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good,
Ann.
Thank you.
Now, Anne, are you the Metallica fan, or did you have kids growing up in the house? What was it?
Husband and kids are the Metallica fans. Not me too much.
Right, well, right, have a listen to this. Where you go, Anne?
Take my hand off to never land.
Oh, Rue, this is a three-way dead heat.
I love getting people to do this.
This is... Who are you going to pick out of those?
I'm doing an eeny, meeny, miny at the moment.
Look, Monica, Christy, Anne, you were all fantastic. All of them.
Yeah, I know, but I did the eeny, meeny, miny, and it come up with Anne from McGill. You've won the double to Metallica. Anne, congratulations.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
I feel terrible. The other two were so good.
I know, but it's a ruthless competition.
Anne, well done.
Oh, yeah, you have no idea how happy I am.
You'll be the wife and mum of the year now.
Absolutely, thank you.
All right, good on you, Anne. Stay there. Alice the Wag will talk to you in just a moment.
How long are we doing this competition for? A whole week.
Oh, gee.
Righto, good stuff. All right. Well, more doubles to give away this week at 7 o'clock.
7:13, Roo, and it's here on Triple M, Roo, in a moment. I want to talk all about these Boeing planes. This is going to affect us locally. You know, Fiji Airways fly in and out of Adelaide, and they use these planes. We're going to talk to an expert in just a moment. Ruined It's on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Rue, we made the comment yesterday that I mean, you flew yesterday to Melbourne, but we get to fly around a fair bit with our work here at Triple M, and obviously everyone listening goes on holidays. So we're all flyers in this day and age.
Yep.
This affects a lot of us. And in fact, I said very, very close to home, my family are heading to Fiji later in the year for a wedding. Fiji Airways have been named as one of the airlines using these planes at the moment, the Boeing 737 MAX 8.
Well, that's a bit close to home.
It is a bit close to home. So we're all concerned. Two planes have gone down in recent months.
Yep.
The Ethiopian airliner that killed 150-odd people this week. I want to know what is going on. How does it affect us here in Australia? We hear that Virgin have ordered 30 of these planes.
There's 5,000 on order around the world.
5,000. All right, well, let's go to an expert. James Nixon, he's an author. One of his books, for example, The Crash of MH370. He's a retired A380 captain. He joins us. James, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Worldwide authorities at the moment are grounding these planes. Surely they're right to do so, aren't they?
They are, particularly Australia. You've got to give them a huge amount of credit that Australia has decided to do this. It's very important to get a handle on what's causing it and to fix it very, very quickly. Normally, pilots, people like myself, would never, ever say anything about these crashes until the investigators had done their job. But when that airplane took off out of Ethiopia the other day, the pilot screamed out that he was having an emergency, unreliable airspeed and control issues, exactly the same that happened to Lion Air. Pilots are trained to handle one emergency at a time. Two emergencies together is very, very tricky. In this case, unreliable airspeed and the jammed stabilizer procedure. It's just too hard to do close to the ground. So all of a sudden, we knew it was Lion Air all over again.
So just answer me this one. There's 350 of these planes in the air around the world at the moment. Surely every one of those is getting grounded instantly.
You would hope so. China, Indonesia, Ethiopia, the Cayman Islands, 22 airlines around the world have been grounding them. And now CASA has come up and grounded it in Australia and from flying in Australia. So, yes, they should be grounded until we can find out exactly what went wrong. They've been working on a fix. Don't worry, Boeing would have been working on a fix from this from the second it happened in Lion Air. So they're probably really close to having a fix for it. And then that'll be certified by the FAA in America, the regulator, and then it'll be put into practice all around the world and the planes will be able to fly again.
Now, I've read somewhere this morning that CASA are working with Fiji Airways, for example, which is the one that affects us here in Adelaide. They fly in and out of Adelaide. Would they, if people had to be on those flights right now, would they be chartering other airlines or doing something like that? Would they, they'd find other planes, I take it?
They may do that, but this is a launch airplane for Fiji, so they're I believe they've got other versions of the 737, because this is only one of the new type of airplane. All the other 737s that airlines have can still operate normally, and that's what Silk Air did yesterday in Darwin. Instead of sending their MAX, they sent the 800. So airlines have more than one airplane type in their fleet, and they can just revert to them.
How long ago was it that Lion Air crash? And are you surprised that they... I know they knew what happened back then, but are you surprised they hadn't already fixed it?
No, because there were still, remember it was crashed into the sea. So we didn't have the black boxes. They didn't have the details. So this was 5 months ago. And so it took a long time to get the details. The good part about the Ethiopian crash, if anything can be good about an airline crash where people get killed, is the fact that it crashed in a very small area, went straight in, so it was just like a crater, and the last thing that was sticking out the tail, and that's got the black boxes. So they've already retrieved those black boxes, and they're now analysing them.
Now, just finally, are you able to explain to us lay people here, in layman's terms, what this sensor that's at the front of the plane, I take it that's what they're concerned with, that's sending the plane into these unusual movements?
Yes, the angle of attack sensor that is tied up with this new technology that they told the engineers about, but they never told the pilots. This is all automatic and transparent to the pilots. And instead of using a combination of sensors, the right and left ones together, apparently the New York Times revealed the other day that this system only uses one at a time. And that's just not good enough, because in aviation, we always have backup systems working together. Right. The A380, for example, has like five systems and it chooses the best one at the time. So they need to make this thing use both sensors to compare each other. And if there's a problem with the unreliable airspeed, the system must turn itself off.
Mm.
James, that's the quickest fix.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. James Nixon, as I said, author of The Crash of MH370, a captain of 31 years. Very scary stuff for me, really.
No,
very
I don't like frightening. It. I hate it. I told you, I've been a bad flyer for a few years now, but the more things like this happen don't make it any easier either.
Nah, no doubt. Dr. Carl's going to join us next. Why do we forget things, Roo? What's wrong with our memory? Well, I'm in my 50s.
Are we losing it?
Bloody.
Have we done too much damage? Oh, too many head knocks? Yeah. Too much booze? What? I don't know.
All of the
combination
above.
Of both.
Put all of those together. It's what's his name, and I'm. Oh, I can't remember my name either. Yeah.
There
I'm
you go,
Triple
mate.
M. Yeah, good.
Science. Grab the lab coats and whip out the Bunsen burners.
For science.
It's time to talk science
with Dr. Carl.
Oh, brand new book out, The Universe and Everything. Dr. Carl, this must be book number 45, is it?
Heading into 45 right now,
right.
Writing weird sort of stories about A2 milk and all that sort of stuff. But
stuff.
We've got different things to do today, haven't we?
Memory. Now, one thing we've always been told throughout our lifetimes is that alcohol kills brain cells. Is that accurate? And if it is, do we regenerate them? Do they grow back?
Alcohol does not kill brain cells, but you can retrain your brain cells, and in some cases you can actually make them grow back, but it's not common.
Alcohol doesn't kill brain cells. That's going to prick the ears of a lot of Triple M listeners this morning.
Well, what it does do is interfere with a whole lot of high level functioning and make it possible for you to get ripped off easily by other people all the time.
Yeah.
And also you lose frontal inhibition and you think the crap things are really good, but apart from that, fine stuff.
Yeah, right. That's called beer goggles.
Yeah.
Now can I ask about how can I at some stage be sitting there thinking, I know this person's name, I've had them, dealt with them 100 times, but I just can't dig their name out of my head. What is going on with my brain at that point?
Well, the first thing to do is get the big picture, which is that firstly, the universe is trying to kill you. Nothing personal. There's measles and there's buildings and there's bad food and the fact that you're over 24 and a half. All those things. The universe is trying to kill you. And secondly, the universe is big, so you're always on the lookout for threats. So these things take priority, sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously. Secondly, if you're trying to remember something, the best thing you can do is to not try, because all you do is you reinforce the bad memory, the fact that you can't get it.
Right.
And so on one occasion, my wife said, Carl, while doing the crossword puzzle, what was the name of the World War II, Second World War, Burmese insurgents or freedom fighters? And I said, I don't ask me now. I know what it is. And I remember reading it when I was a kid on a Reader's Digest magazine, curled over a chair, and I didn't even think about it. And then suddenly, about 15 minutes later, without even my consciously doing it, my mouth opened, air came out, and I said the word chindit. Chindit, which I had never said in my whole life, and I hadn't even thought about it for decades. So the thing to do is to just let things float and go with the flow, and eventually it'll pop up, providing you give your brain the job of remembering it in the background.
And it's very important to remember chindit. I mean, it's vital.
There'll be one person who'll be doing crossword in the next 10 years. They'll think they will remember this moment.
Right. Now, Dr. Carl, you are and I'm not being patronising in any way. You are a super intelligent person. Why are you a lot smarter and remember more things than, say, someone like myself? Is your brain bigger? Has it got more certain cells to it than what mine would have? Or how does it work?
You're wrong on both counts. Firstly, my IQ is in there with two-thirds of the population, between 85 and 115. My IQ is 110. I'm not super smart. I have met super smart people, especially when they're trying to study. We're both trying to study the kidney, and their understanding is so much deeper than mine. And secondly, my memory, the way I work on memory is I work on turning everything into stories. I write four stories every week. Example one, suppose I give you 1,000 words and I say, hey, Roo, hey, dude, give me back the story. But suppose, number two, instead of asking you to give me back the words, I turned into a story. So what happens is we wake up in the morning and there's a limousine out the front saying you've been invited to meet with Kim Kardashian. She's waiting in the car for you. Mm-hmm. So we go into the car, we go to the airport, we fly all the way first class in her private jet to the United States of America. We go into the White House and we suddenly find out that all of the world leaders are actually shape-changing reptiles from the planet Zog.
Right.
Now, all those words are in that list that I gave you. You can't remember the list. You can remember the story.
Right.
So turn everything into a story, and then you can remember it. Your brain is wired up to remember stories.
All right.
Your brain loves stories.
Is that the why people say when they're trying to remember people's names, they say to say it like 10 times or 5 times or come up with something to remember it?
Yeah, like you might say, your name is Michael, and you got married recently. So you try and find some sort of hook, some sort of little story.
Okay.
So just finally, when I saw my parents go through old age, and we talk about Alzheimer's, dementia, those sorts of things, they can remember something when they were 6 years of age, but they can't remember something I told them 30 seconds ago. Is that using a different part of the brain? Has
probably
a part of the brain
died? Story was boring.
Yeah.
Well, one of the problems with Alzheimer's disease, which if we could fix it would be just a wonderful, wonderful thing, is that you can't lay down new memories, but the old memories are still there. And it's so tragic when you say, they say, who are you, young man?
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, that's tragic.
Yeah.
We don't have an answer for that one.
So the brain's full, is it?
And well, in my case, I can keep on filling in stuff so long as I refresh it at 2 weeks, 2 months, and then every 6 months after that.
How do you delete?
Oh, you mean you got memories you want to get rid of? That's a different story.
Just to get more space in there, I'm talking about.
It seems to be fillable. There are some people who have what is called highly superior autobiographical memory. We've found about 50 of them. And you can say, well, what happened on the 13th of January in 2004? And they say, oh, well, I was going to go to work, but there was a big storm and a tree got knocked down. You go back, look up the records, and they're right.
Mm.
Don't know why. Spooky. Only 50 of them.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Carl.
Thank you, Dr.
Brand
Roo,
new
Dr.
book, Dick. The Universe and Everything. Coming up next from Port Adelaide, Brad Ebert, right here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back. Slots the goal.
On Bruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Let's welcome him along, Brad Ebert.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning, guys.
And I like your strategy on the weekend. No goals.
Yeah,
because
just keep you guessing.
We've got this little pack together. You're going to have 40-odd goals this year playing up forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Save them for the season.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I dropped a couple sitters and all that. That's why it sort of happened, I guess.
That's smart. I mean, Jack Watts kicked six in the JLT last year and didn't do it in the normal year.
Well, let's do it in reverse then.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Just got to get myself in there for round
good
one to
strategy.
Do it, you
know? Now, is it right? Now, we've had Ollie Wines hurt himself water skiing.
Mm-hmm.
You had boys playing cricket that got through unscathed.
Yep.
I would have thought if you were trying to kick goals and get your spot in the forward line, the last thing you'd be doing is riding a skateboard.
Hey, where'd you see
Hang
me?
Hang on. Where'd you get this?
Where'd you see me?
Is it right?
Oh, I'm always riding the skateboard.
Skateboarding Leo, down to grab a cup of coffee.
Leo and I go down there. Yeah, he jumps on his... I've got him on his scooter now, and he goes around the block a couple
Lime
of times.
Lime scooter? Or
yeah, well, that'll be next.
I just heard you scooted past us.
I normally go down to the cricket. Normally go down to the cricket
down
on the skateboard.
And grab a coffee, on the skateboard.
Yeah. That's, I guess, the local hangout down at Grange. Yeah, the Cook's Pantry there. They're always welcoming me in with a skateboard, that's
right.
For sure.
Mm.
Mate, it's only a couple hundred metres ditch, don't worry. Yeah, don't stress,
no,
mate.
No, I'm all
right. You can thank Mark McGill for dobbing you.
Yeah, thank you. How is the little fella going, the new one? Henry?
He's going well, Henry, yeah. He's not sleeping all that well, but I'm getting a bit, so it's okay.
You're delegating.
Nah, Bec's doing well. She's doing well, and we're thrilled.
Good.
Was the coach happy on the weekend? Was he thrilled against North Melbourne?
Yeah, I think he was pretty happy to see that. Like, it was the first time in a while that we've scored comfortably over 100 points. So I think it shows that we're playing some decent footy, shows that we're playing that little bit more attacking style. And, we probably haven't shied away from that all off-season, sort of trying to say that we're going to try and do it. And it was good to put it on show and do it okay.
Now, I asked Tex yesterday about this, but the new six in the forward line, six in defence, did you like it?
I like it. Yeah, I actually, initially I wasn't sure about it, but the more that we've actually been able to play it out and actually see how it works, I think it's good. I think it opens up the congestion in the centre bounce, lets the midfielders do their thing, and it also just creates those more one-on-one battles like the old school days.
Roo, in the commentary on the weekend, you made a very, very good point. Melbourne kicked about six in a row at one stage, and there was an avalanche, and you chimed in and said, go back to last year, a coach would have put two behind the ball by now, or one behind and they can't do that now. So you've just got to play better and stop it happening.
Yeah. This was my point I was going to raise with you, Ditz, because we've had arguments about momentum and stuff over time, but mindset here is going to play a different role in the coach's box and with the players at the moment, because when the ball goes back to the middle now after a goal, your coach can't go and put players behind the ball. The players now and the coach have to go, right, this is a 50-50 contest at the centre bounce. I need to back myself in to win the next contest. That's how I'm going to beat the opposition here, by winning the ball and getting it down my end, not by stacking the defence and taking a defensive approach. So it's a big change in mindset by the players and the coach.
Yeah, I was going to say, it probably comes back to players owning their spots and being able to really, like you're saying, nut out those sort of positions and actually going, all right, I need to win this next one. I need to, I don't have that support coming from the bench with the coaches telling us what needs to happen. It's really up to players being able to get executed on the ground and in those zones.
Do you think we'll see, you just said zone, do you think we'll see less zoning off now? Will you need to be closer to your man?
Well, it's only really that centre bounce that it creates that. The rest of the play sort of goes back to normal. So I don't know whether it'll necessarily change, the zoning defence.
But the quick, all right,
like that.
So Paddy Ryder, quick tap to your on ball, bang, you've kicked it into the forward line. Won't their backman have to be right on the forwards?
And but they always are at that instant, stits and a bounce, is what Ebo's saying. At that point, it's all one-on-one. And then when the ball's in general play, that's when they go into a zone defense.
Yeah, so that's where I think that it will become, you can see the defenders are getting pretty close and making sure that you're not, allowing those extra couple metres like they probably did last year, where they'd, sit off and be reading it a little bit at, from a centre bounce. But, we'll see how it goes.
All right, Brad Ebert, our special guest, more with Ebo in just a moment.
Just want to hit you up. A little bit of a rumour getting around.
Another rumour.
Star player might have gone backwards in his rehabilitation. I want to find out more. Player.
Okay.
Was he a Crow?
No. Port Adelaide.
Player.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Ruined it on Triple M.
Triple M. Ebert leans back. Slots the goal.
On Ruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Brad Ebert, our special guest in the studio. The dumbest rule I've seen in 100 years of watching footy.
It's got to be.
100-metre penalty I saw on the weekend.
Especially if you don't know the rules.
What is going on?
Yeah, mate. I think I was standing next to Scott Thompson from Kangaroos.
Yeah.
And I reckon they got the free and he's standing there like, mate, this is a joke. Like, it's one of those rules that they over-adjudicate to start the season and then they'll make amends to it. Because that's, the way that it was played and it just looks silly. It almost creates that...
try and expose the rule. Well, that's what Campbell did on the weekend.
And that's what you're going to do. Yeah, and that's you're going to do it because the rule's there, so you're going to try and
do
it.
But we're all still angry about 50 metres, I reckon.
Oh, I know.
I'm still getting used to that. Not 100.
And that's it. And it is just a goal against straight away.
Remember the game against Hawthorn down in Tassie last season? 11 50-metre penalties.
Yeah, that was.
It was a debacle.
And we lost by 10 points or whatever, and half of them are questionable. But, these days it's going to end up being, more times than not, it'll end up being 100 metres unless they stop it.
So what you've been told is if you give away a 50-metre penalty, just get out the way. Just sprint, get out the way.
Yeah, and that's
You only have to get out of the way if he goes past you.
Right.
If he doesn't go past you, you can run as fast as you can. back to the mark.
Yeah, so
that's what you have to do.
That's what they're trying to do, and they're trying to create that whole stopping of, you know, us delaying the game by slowly giving the ball back and then jogging next to them.
Right.
So they're trying to speed it up, which I can understand, but then there's that side of it which is just weird where as soon as they run past, if the other guy stays behind, it's like another 50. Rather, he has to move out of the protected zone. So anyway, it'll...
Couple of quick ones for you before we go. Paddy Ryder has got a depressed cheekbone, but will play in round one, we're led to believe.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, like it's one of those ones that... Yeah,
it's fine unless he gets another clash on the spot and then he misses a month or 2 months.
Yeah, well, and that's the risk, but at the same time, it'll be the same probably in 2 or 3 weeks.
He's hated this preseason. He rolled his ankle. He had a strapped head. He had a strapped knee on the weekend. And then I was right there.
He was filthy.
I tried to go and interview him after the game. I asked the doc, do you reckon I'm going to have a chat to Paddy? He said, no, he's
probably not the right
space.
He's
in the la la land. What about Charlie Dixon? There's just a couple of rumours that... he might have gone backwards in his rehabilitation. Is that wrong or right?
Nah, I'm thinking it's wrong because I haven't seen him for the last couple of days because we've had the last few days off. But when he was there last week, he looks like he's progressing. He had a little bit of a setback a while ago, but this was going back a fair while ago. And since then, he's been like progressing well.
And Hamish Hartlett has had a little bit of a setback. He won't play SNFL until next weekend, so probably won't play AFL until round four.
Yeah, that's probably. I'd say that he needs. He needs to get back into playing footy, I'd imagine, and so therefore he started the Maggies and go from there. I don't think he expects to just walk straight in.
And round one, you'll have Butters, Dersma, Rosie, Lysette, Burton, five new players for Port Adelaide in round one. I'm tipping, and I don't think Mays will get a game, so I reckon you have five out of the 22 new players.
Yeah, mate, and I guess that's the reality of footy these days, isn't it? There's always going to be turnover. You bring a few new players in. Who we think can help. So I reckon it'll be a nice addition, all those guys, and especially like three young guys. They're just enthusiastic and they're eager after the
good
ball.
Good pressure.
Great pressure. Yeah, and they, you know, they're just good kids.
Make up for you old slow bloke.
That's it. Well, we just kick the goals then.
That's it. Good on you, Brad. Thanks for coming in, mate. We'll see you next week.
Hey, thanks, guys. See
good
you
on then. You,
Brad Ebert from Port Adelaide ruined. It's on Triple M.
Time for the pressure test. Give us a buzz. 133353 if you want to win $1,000 cash.
104.7 Triple M. Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test. Need a car service or repair? ZipPay is now available at Automasters, giving you the option to fix now and pay later. Over 20 branches. Call 1300 Automasters.
You can't handle the pressure.
Ooh, we're heading out to Grange, Dits. G'day, Paul.
G'day, guys. How are you?
What are you up to today?
Just about to head into work.
Paul, you
Paul's
need
a rookie.
To give us a description of what you do at work without us having to ask you. Otherwise, we
rookie
hang
mistake,
up on you.
Rookie mistake.
Just remember that, everyone out there, at 8 o'clock, the new time for the pressure test. Let's go down to Aldenga Beach. Hopefully, Terry has been listening. G'day.
Hi, how you going?
What are you up to today, Terry?
Well, I've been on the road since about 6 o'clock. I work in hygiene, so I'm pretty proud of myself. I actually didn't set alarm off at one of the fire stations today that I set off every time for the last 2 years. So.
Right. So tell us about...
Hopefully that's a good
step
role.
In the right direction.
What do you do in hygiene? Yeah. What do you mean?
Hygiene. So we've got sanitary hand washes and air fresheners, all that jazz.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Could do with a bit of that here.
Okay.
Yep. Especially after
stay on the line and I'll hook you up.
All right, Terry. All right. $1,000 cash up for grabs right now, and this is gettable. Okay.
Okay.
Give me 10 items you would find on an Italian restaurant menu.
Pasta, risotto, lasagna, garlic bread. Oh my God, it's harder than I thought.
Food menu.
Penne, carbonara, bolognese, Napoleon, chicken carbonara,
keep going.
Ravioli, beef ravioli. Fettuccine, spaghetti.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Correct.
Oh, very tight. Very close.
Terry's
so much harder.
Good on you. Well done. Stay on the line. $50 AutoMaster voucher. ZipPay is now available for your next service with over 20 branches. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. That was close.
Very, very close. Time for the Metros to join us, though.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
G'day, boys. We got Howie Flack and our new man. We got Todd, our sound audio engineer here. Hey, Howie, baby, what's happening?
Yeah, we're about 10 days away from Judo.
Oh, so still 10 days to go.
Yep. Full term officially, but
righto.
Yeah, see what happens.
Righto. Good luck in the next week or two.
Thanks.
Could happen any time.
That's it.
Now, Todd, our new man here, Roo, who we've now named Fabio.
Yes.
Todd, the little silent achiever, just arrived at work. What, he's been with us a month or two, and we went to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he walked in with the sleeves off the shirt. He's got the biggest
muscle guns I've ever
seen in my life. Now, is this acceptable behaviour, Roo? You've always been a strong, muscly lad, Roo. Do you get around in singlets and, you know, sleeves cut off these days?
It's very acceptable if you got arms like Todd's. If you got arms like Flack, probably not.
Yeah, righto. Howie, is this acceptable behaviour amongst the boys?
Not for me. I sort of continue to define logic. I get whiter every year, so it's like I'm like a shining light, so I need to try and cover that up as much as possible.
You've got the
nightclub. I haven't been to the gym in a while.
But you've played AFL footy. If the lads have got it, are they flaunt it, or is it more modest to, you know, keep it hidden?
Nah, definitely. I used to crank singlets all the time. If that, probably didn't even need a singlet playing AFL. Yeah.
Shirt off. Right, O Flack, what are the rules?
Don't wear a damn singlet. Put some sleeves on. Maybe wear a collar. Just look nice. I saw Todd. We went to McLaren Vale, and he walked out of the water like Daniel Craig. And I was like, for God's sake, mate. And when he turned up in a singlet, I just hate him even more.
Hate's a bit strong.
Well, because I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Look at his body.
Yeah.
Like, well, look at him.
Now, Fabio.
Yeah.
So you've done a bit of competition, is that right? You're not just doing the odd weights. You've actually
not really competed. Never entered anything. Just sort of like got really interested in it, and then I broke my foot. It's out of the air, so that kind of stopped that. But
yeah. Hope you get fat now.
So how many years have you been pumping the weights?
Maybe 5 on solid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So what were you before you started those 5 years? How much did you weigh then?
When I first started, I think it was around 75.
So you went from 75 and you told me you got to 110.
110.
So that's 35 kilos.
Yeah, 110 was at my max, and then I kind of lost it straight away.
Wow.
So
35 kilos. Were you on
back
the juice
shoes?
Or what?
No.
Oh, it was all natural, was it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Really?
I wanted to push it naturally. So
protein powders?
Lots of protein powders, yeah.
I think you're talking yourself up. I can tell you now, it's really easy to put on 35 kilos. Like, super
not
easy.
Not from going through Hungry Jack's.
A couple of times. But no, you can't wear a singlet. That's why I don't, because I don't have the body and too much side boob comes out.
Yeah. Right. I just want to ask you a question, you blokes, now. We know that some of you guys and a lot of the boys don't have any hairs around their private bits these days, and the girls for that matter. But so if you have a sort of a back sack and crack or anything like that, if you do go down that track at any age, when it starts to grow back, how uncomfortable is it and what do you do?
You just stay on top of it, don't you?
It's all about maintenance, but if you really want to go deeper, you need to moisturise, because you've got to watch for ingrown hairs, and it's going to be itchy, so you really need to watch that maintenance.
So what do you just keep maintaining?
You got to keep maintaining.
If it starts getting itchy and
you're
growing, you got to
You're walking down the street and you're scratching and people think you're weird.
How about just don't do it in the first place? I mean, we're blokes.
Yeah, because a lot of women, you know, do a lot of work down there.
No, we know
why can't
that.
We?
Well, we know that, but we're
fellas.
You
don't want a mirror, do you?
Hey? Why?
What's going on?
Don't.
What's happened?
Hang on. Keep going, Todd. Do you shave?
I'm from Broken Hill, mate. I've got to keep it pretty raw, you know. Like,
there you go. There you go.
Yeah,
good
right.
stuff.
Okay. We'll just leave it there. What's the next one? Movies on dates. Who's this one from?
This is from Flack. Now, what's the story, Flack? One of your Tinder dates recently wanted to go and see a girly sad flick.
She invited me over to watch a movie.
What movie?
A Star is Born.
Hey, it's all right.
Yeah, but movie. I was worried I might cry.
I cried.
Well, look at you.
Like, yeah, get
see,
into
I'm bothered
it.
About that. I'm not bothered about that. I don't want to see sad movies because you start bawling in front of the missus. I don't like that either.
I don't want to cry on a first date.
No.
First date.
No, I don't want to watch. And the only movie that's ever made me cry was Independence Day, and I never want to go through that again.
Independence Day.
I know that's a weird one,
long time ago.
I cried in Independence Day, and I don't want to cry during another movie, especially on a date, okay?
Howie, I think it's a good way to show your weakness, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, shut
up. I'm trying to think. Maybe that Marley and Me, have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh, that was
that
sad.
That gets me, yeah.
Yeah, that was, that. I was bawling my eyes out.
What's
in
that about that? The dogs?
Yeah, got to get the dog put down.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't gee. Good.
No, you start thinking about your own dog.
It was terrible. Yeah. Todd, Fabio?
Yeah. I don't think watch any movies that's going to give away, like, your intentions or, you know. Maybe, like, for instance, if you're in it for the long run, don't watch The Breakup, If you're Alex, don't watch 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Look at you bringing the gear.
Yeah, just simple as that, really.
Yeah, good work, boys.
All right, thanks, boys.
Thanks, thank you.
To pack your toothbrush.
Roo, and it's here on Triple M. George Pell is in custody, Roo, and his sentence will be handed down today. And everyone in the Vatican, no doubt, will be looking on with massive interest. Channel 7's Hugh Whitfield is there. Hugh, good morning.
G'day, guys.
The judge has actually come out and said overnight that he can expect significant jail time. What's the reaction over there? What's happening?
Well, look, I think we can expect a formal statement from the Vatican in the next 24 hours once this sentence has been handed down. But don't expect anything earth-shattering or, you know, defrocking of Cardinal Pell, I think, probably for another couple of months. Previously, the Vatican has said that they will, quote, await the outcome of the appeals process, and we know that's going to take months for Cardinal Pell, and we know that he's likely to exhaust that. There's been no admission of guilt whatsoever from the Cardinal. They have launched their own investigation, the Vatican. It's led by a group that's called the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. What it essentially is a group of bishops and priests and some lay people, and it does include some women, who basically control church law, and they will have deployed some lawyers to Melbourne to carry out their own investigation, and they will report back to the Pope as to whether or not they believe that Cardinal Pell is guilty and whether or not he should be punished. We know that high-ranking cardinals have been what they call defrocked or removed from the priesthood, essentially losing all of their priestly titles and rights within the church. There was a Washington cardinal who lost his title last month. And just last week, there was a cardinal in France who was convicted by a court of covering up child sex abuse. He was sentenced to a 6-month suspended jail sentence, so he won't actually go to prison. But he resigned from the priesthood, and that is an option open to Cardinal Pell. But, of course, that would be an admission of guilt in itself.
Is there any talk around the Vatican that no matter what happens today, that when he appeals in June, that he might get off? Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, look, I think there's no one, I can guarantee you there's no one here in the Vatican who has actually sat through the entire court and has court proceedings and has listened to all of the evidence. Only a handful of journos, including our reporter in Melbourne, who sat through the entire court proceedings, knows all of the evidence and everything that the jury heard. But there is certainly, you know, I guess a feeling as well here that Cardinal Pell, in some circumstances, in some way thinking of it, you know, this sort of thing had been a while coming in that he had brought the issue of child sexual abuse right to the Pope's door back in 2016 when the Royal Commission had to travel here to Rome to carry out hearings because he refused to go back to Melbourne. So he has been caught up in these allegations and murky waters surrounding child sexual abuse in the Australian church for years. We know that. And so look, the Vatican will be praying that he gets off because it takes away so much pressure that is piled onto the Vatican because he was the third highest ranking Catholic in the world and he's behind bars. And he's likely, we think, you know, obviously today, to spend years behind bars. So certainly a lot of prayers, and I reckon the Pope's really praying as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Hugh, we're going to leave it there. We've actually got a bit of a bad line, but we got the gist of what Hugh was talking about there. It is a surprise that, well, I guess they got to wait for the appeal, but he hasn't been defrocked as yet. I mean, the man is serving time. Well, I suppose I've got to wait for the appeal.
They're doing their own investigation.
Yeah. I see where Hugh said they'll be saying a lot of prayers. Bloody oath they will be.
Anyway, it's a bit of a gory story, that one, and there's more to come.
Yeah, all right, Ruin Dits here on Triple M. Time for us to go, Ru. That is it for today.
Yeah, if you're interested in the George Pell decision, that'll be coming on, I think it's online from about 9:30 SA time as well. We'll be back tomorrow with Limo, we'll have the Angels, we'll have another big show. Catch you later, everyone. Have a great day.